Something moved through the brush, invisible in the darkness. What the hell was this? Ben tensed to fight or run. One hand held the lantern out, as much a talisman as a light, and the other scrambled at his belt for his knife. It was a sailor's blade, 6 inches and sharpened to a wicked edge. As his fingers closed around it, he felt a fragment of confidence fall back into place. But still the thing moved through the shadows. Ben drew the blade slowly, keeping it behind him, not wanting the polished steel to catch light from the lantern. It was closer. The blade cleared the sheath, and Ben eased slowly down into a crouch. If he had to fight, then he would make a real fight of it. Closer still. Come on, you bugger, he murmured, his fingers flexing on the handle to find the best grip. If it rushed him, he'd slash. Stabbing is a fool's move. The blade gets caught. Ben knew that quick slashes could fend off even a big hound or a boar. Suddenly, the thing burst from the bushes and drove right toward him. Ben growled in fear and fury and raised his knife. The creature flew into the spill of lantern light, and Ben fell back a step, a laugh escaping his chest. It was a pheasant. Plump and beautiful and indifferent to the big man with the wicked knife. It flapped past him down the corridor of yews. Bloody hell, Ben gasped and slammed the knife back into its sheath. Bloody bird, he called after it, and then to himself. Bloody fool. With a rueful smile and a shake of his head, he turned and found his path. But 10 steps deeper into the forest, his lantern guttered, the light dimming for a dangerous moment before waxing again as he shook it. Ben peered at it. The oil was almost gone. He had snatched up the first lantern he found and had not stopped to check the oil first. You bloody fool, he said again. It was not the first time a hasty act had come around to bite him. Ben lingered for a moment, looking back the way he had come. As silence reclaimed the shadowy landscape, the night seemed bigger, darker, less familiar. Silence was like a presence. He could feel it watching him. Are you out there? He called. But without wanting to, he pitched his voice as a whisper. Silence answered him. But Ben still felt as if he was being watched, as if familiar eyes were on him. He cleared his throat and pitched his voice louder. Come, he yelled. We have to talk. Nothing. The flame of his lantern flickered, and he realized that if he didn't find his quarry soon, the oil might not last and he'd be lost out here in the darkness. He looked up, and even through the dense ceiling of evergreen branches, he could see a paleness like frost, the touch of moonlight on the trees. Ben nodded to himself. If he lost his lantern, he could find his way home by going to higher ground. That moon was bright enough to read by, and it had just begun its long hunt across the sky. He would have hours of light left if it came to it, and the hall only felt far away. Even so, the thought of being without light, even for a few minutes, was daunting. Ben squared his shoulders and took a steadying breath. On his first step, the lantern sputtered again. Stay with me, he murmured, and the light seemed to steady at his words. Encouraged, Ben moved forward. And as if to mock him, the light guttered low and nearly went out. He chewed his lip. Moonlight would get him back, but it would not help him find what he was looking for. Maybe it would be better to give it up as a bad job and come back tomorrow. Ben shook the lantern again, and then, as the light flared once more, he caught movement off to his left. Just a flash of moonlight on something that moved behind the trees. What the hell? He tried to track it through the woods, but it was already gone. A sound made him turn, and he caught another flash of it. There and gone. Suddenly, there was a blur of dark movement that slammed into him with impossible speed. As it whipped past Ben, it made a strange ripping sound. His lantern struck the hard-packed dirt behind him and rolled away, the fickle flame flaring brighter for a moment. The impact knocked Ben halfway around, and he stared numbly in the wrong direction, his eyes bulging and blinking. The world dwindled down to an envelope of darkness that seemed to wrap itself around him. He heard the delicate sound of a raindrop on the scattered leaves beneath his feet. Another drop, and another. He looked up, wondering why he felt no rain on his face. The sky beyond the roof of trees was clear. Ben smiled crookedly at the moon, wondering how rain could fall on such a night, and then looked down at the splattering of drops on the leaves. Dark rain, black in the moonlight, glistening like oil, smelling of freshly sheared copper. Ben opened his mouth to comment on the strange rain that seemed to be falling from his own body, but no sound came out. He heard a soft sound, the crunch as someone stepped on the wet leaves. But when he looked at the foot, it was wrong. So wrong. Shoeless, misshapen. Not a human foot at all. Not an animal either. Ben raised his head and saw the eyes of the thing that stood near him. They were not the eyes of the person he came looking for out here. They were large and as yellow as a harvest moon. The eyes glared at him, and Ben felt his hammering heart suddenly go still in his chest. Understanding struck him harder than the blow that had stalled him. He screamed, and then he ran. His stomach was a furnace that sloshed loosely, and Ben clamped his hands over his abdomen as he blundered through the brush. His fingers closed over wet ropes that threatened to spill out of him. His mind refused to accept the reality of what had been done to him. To accept it was to allow it, and he could not. He ran, staggering, stumbling, leaving a widening trail of red behind him. Even through the sound of his own desperate breaths and the slap of his feet on the leaves, he could hear the thing following. Not running, stalking. God, he breathed, but his voice was ragged and wet. He risked a single backward glance, just one, and it was not there. Moonlight painted the corridor of trees with a ghostly light, and nothing behind him moved except the tree branches he himself had disturbed. Please, Ben whispered. Let there be a chance. He turned back to find his way. And it was there. He slammed into it and rebounded. With an awful realization, he knew that it had circled him, not hunting, taunting him, playing with him. The thing moved with hideous speed, and Ben felt lines of fire ignite along his cheek. Hot blood poured from the gashes and ran into his mouth and down the side of his throat. Ben whirled and ran straight through the dense brush. His legs were as heavy as iron weights, but he willed his feet to move and move. The brush abruptly thinned and then gave way to a small clearing that skirted the base of the cliff wall. Out of the tangles of withered grass, a set of pale stone steps rose to the foot of a massive door. Ben realized where he was. It was a mausoleum carved into the living rock of the cliff. It was ancient, with a massive lintel carved with the faces of forgotten gods and nameless kings. The ponderous bronze door was bound with thick iron bands that ran from top to bottom and side to side. The panels between the intersecting bands were inscribed with complex prayers and spells of such antiquity that much of their meaning was lost to time. Hope flared like a spark in the darkness of his mind, and he raced toward it. In the woods behind him, he could hear the thing as it smashed through the brush in pursuit. He lifted the 10,000-pound weight of one foot onto the first step, but when he tried to lift the other, he simply could not. With a cry of pain and defeat, he collapsed onto the steps. Even so, Ben Talbot did not give up. He crawled, leaving behind him a red-black trail like a bloody slug. The door was near, and it stood ajar. If he could only reach it, then he could haul himself inside and slam it. That great door would hold back hell itself. Then he heard the click and scratch of clawed feet on the stone steps, and he knew that he would never reach that door. Ben's numb fingers scrabbled for his knife, but the thing loomed up huge and terrible over him, and the knife clattered to the cold stone. Ben heard the sound of his own death. He saw the flash of claws as they tore at him, He heard his clothing rip, heard the separate sounds of parting flesh and tendon, heard the scrape of claw on bone. He heard all of this from a great distance, detached from the pain that must be coursing through his nerves. He heard, but did not feel. The tethers that held him to the broken flesh were stretching. Stretching. The thing leaned over him, and he saw those dreadful yellow eyes. He saw himself reflected there. When it suddenly stopped tearing at him and ran away into the night, Ben watched as if he were only a spectator watching a gruesome play. It was not real. This was not him. A gust of the night breeze blew the branches aside, and there above the cliff was the screaming face of the goddess of the night. The moon, in all her mad glory. Framed against it, standing powerful on the crest of the ridge, Ben saw the thing that had hunted him, the thing that had killed him. Huge, misshapen, an impossible figure against an impossible sky. "No," Ben said as the thing on the cliff turned and vanished, fleeing this place, running free into the world. "No." But his protest was heard by no ears other than his own. The darkness that crept toward him from all sides was black and infinite. The last thing he heard was the long and terrible howl of the beast, a sound that rose from the forest into the night sky. Above the world, the full white moon watched it all in glorious triumph.